The following is a presentation of the Houston Texans. Texans Extra Points is presented by BHP Billiton, by Reliant, keeps you powered at home, at work, and on the go, and by your local Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas.
Welcome one, welcome all to Texans Extra Points. We're so very happy that you're watching this Saturday night. Hope you're doing really well. My name's Drew Doherty. I'm your host, and we've got some friends here today. None other than Christy Reakin of the Associated Press. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Sean Pendergast of Sports Radio 610 in the afternoons, as well as the Houston Press. Excellent writer, excellent writers both to my left. Let's kick things off, though, and get going with the news of the week. You know, Brock Osweiler had a pretty solid first game as Texans quarterback. And the key to it all, knowledge.
There's certainly a lot on our shoulders as quarterbacks in this system. There's a lot that we have to know just to be able to step on that football field and operate efficiently. But it's one of those deals, once you get the operation down and you're studying and you're understanding the offense, I mean, it's fun. It's like backyard football.
When he was at Notre Dame, the guys from Solid Verbal called Will Fuller Big Bill Fuller because of all the big plays he used to make, scoring touchdowns, big gains, et cetera, et cetera. He did the same thing last Sunday, had 100-plus yards and a touchdown in his debut against the Bears, and he said couldn't have gone even better.
It's a dream come true. You know, my first regular season game in the National Football League, you know, lifelong dream, so it was great to come out here and play a regular season game.
Big task tomorrow, however, with the Kansas City Chiefs in town taking on the Texans. Kickoff is at noon here at NRG Stadium. And last year, Kansas City did some big things on offense, and the Texans on defense have the utmost respect for them.
So we're working on this Sunday, a very good opponent. We're looking forward to the game.
I just think they're a really well-coached team. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. When you watch the way that they coach their team, the way that their team plays, and it's a really good football team.
All right, so we just heard from a few folks there about what's going on this week and what's going on tomorrow. Let's start with you, Christy. This defense, what'd you learn about it last week against the Chicago Bears?
Well, I think the first thing we learned is that J.J. isn't back to his old self. But I think even J.J. at 70-80% is still a great player. But I think this week we'll see maybe more of the old J.J. And we also saw that when Clowney's healthy and they can move him around, he can really be a disruptive force, which I was very excited about because we've been waiting to see this for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, what were a couple of takeaways for you?
Defensively, I think we're seeing that Romeo Crennel is kind of morphing into doing something that's kind of position agnostic. You know, people have gotten so wrapped up with Clowney. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he a defensive end? He had his hand in the dirt every single down that he was out there. So you can see that the goal has become getting as many of his good players out there as he can get out there. And he was doing things. You know, Ted Johnson, my co-host on the Triple Threat, played for Romeo Crennel. And the one thing he said to me after the game in the post-game show was, he's like, I don't even recognize what Rack's doing anymore because he's adapted so much to what the NFL game is now in terms of the personnel groupings. It's like almost like there's no such thing as a sub-package anymore with this team. It's like they're out there in sub-packages.
And that creativity is really refreshing, especially a guy who has that experience in the league and has been in the league this long. She touched on Clowney a moment ago. You did as well. What did you see from him, and what's got you most excited about what he did?
The exciting thing was it feels like that was the first game that we've seen him play as a Texan where he played like somebody who was the first overall pick in the draft from beginning to end. You know, he played games last year, but there were always games where it felt like we were kind of picking out the little flashpoints and stuff like that. He was productive from beginning to end in that game, and I think that was the biggest thing. I think, you know, maybe takeaway on the negative side is he's still just all power. You know, there's not much finesse to his game, not much using of his hands.
He still is very young in his career, though. What have you seen? What did you like the most about Clowney? Because he brings up the power, but I think it's something that we can watch as the year goes on as far as picking up little subtleties.
Well, the thing that I liked the best about him was when we talked to him after the game, he wasn't like, oh, this is great, I made it. He was like, it's one game.
Yeah.
I've got to keep building on it. And that's the big key with him. Like, it's great to show flashes and be good for one game, but what we need to see from Clowney is for him to be able to consistently do it, stay on the field, stay healthy, because I think if he does, he's just going to get better and better. And then that defense with him and Watt as pass rushers, and obviously Merciless, is going to be really tough to deal with.
Yeah, it's three guys who justifiably, you know, they need a double team. And you bring up Watt. We bring up Watt all the time. Where... Where is he in the process? Because I think you made it a perfect point there. J.J. Watt at 60% is better than just about anybody else you have at 100%.
Well, he talked, and so did Bill O'Brien, about how at the beginning of the game, he wasn't great, but as the game went on, as he started to, as he says, knock the rust off,
yeah.
He started to get better and better. And like he said, at the beginning of the game, I wasn't where I wanted to be, but by the end of the game, I started to feel like myself. So I'm thinking another week in practice and the second game, maybe we'll see more of that dominant J.J. Watt that's won Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the biggest positive of J.J.'s performance was he made some of his biggest plays at the end of the game,
right.
Which is good. That meant that conditioning was not a problem, not like he thought it would be a problem with J.J. Watt. But to me, I was glad that the physical stuff, you know, he said the back felt fine. He was making plays at the end of the game. To me, the only issues were just kind of, you know, just knocking off that layer of football rust, and that should happen, you know, hopefully it's fully knocked off by the time the Chiefs come to.
Yeah, based on what I saw, I'm not too concerned because mm-hmm. what we saw down the stretch from him in that game looked like vintage J.J. Watt.
And
to
they've
me.
Got guys who can make up for him
yeah,
now this year.
Absolutely.
He's not a solo island, you know, he's not on an island anymore.
One guy who's tough to make up for when he's at full strength and playing the way we became accustomed to early on was Brian Cushing. He's not going to be around for a while. He's not done for the season, but has the knee injury, has a sprained MCL. How do you replace a guy like that?
Yeah, it's so unfortunate. You know, Brian spent the last 4 or 5 years trying to get to the point where it looked like he was in the preseason this year. I do think that the level of talent on this defense and also the position that he plays. Max Bulla, I think whatever flaws Max Bulla has, I think are going to be pretty maskable mm-hmm. in this defense. You obviously don't replace the ceiling that Cushing has when he's out there, but I think that, you know, the good news is the Cushing we're expecting this year, I feel like we haven't really seen over the last 3 or 4
sure.
years, so it's not like you're losing something that you've been used to having, so to speak.
Plus, Benardrick McKinney has flashed a little bit, too.
That's actually what I was going to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to fill in for Brian Cushing, who's had 100 tackles in 3 or 4 seasons, with one person. I mean, Max Bull is a good player, and he's shown some, like, really good flashes of what he can be, but you're going to need, like, it's going to take a village, I would think. And it's not just that Cushing's play. He's also, like, a second coach on the field. I mean, he's one of the most veteran players on this defense.
Yeah.
He's like, the captain of what they do on the field. So it's going to take a lot of different people to fill in for his absence.
I like our village, just to go on.
Yeah, we got a nice village.
Okay, we've got much more from the village coming up here on Texans Extra Points, including the Telestrator with our head coach. But coming up next, what's next? Will Fuller.
On Jeff Allen, is it when you have a guy who's not far removed from being with your opponent, can you lean on him a little bit?
I mean, he was a guard, so he's not going to, like, you know, tell us, you know, what the X is doing on this route or what the, you know what I mean?
It's Bill O'Brien talking about some insider knowledge that Jeff Allen might have. Jeff Allen, of course, played for the Chiefs last year, and we're darn glad he's a Texan now because he's a pretty good offensive lineman. Okay, and I've got two pretty good panelists here in Christy Reakin and Sean Pendergast. Friends, we haven't even talked about Brock Osweiler yet. Looked pretty good starting off the maiden voyage in the regular season. What was the best thing he did? What's the one thing you want to see him work on?
To me, the thing that I was really impressed with was he threw that interception on his first possession and he didn't let it linger.
Yeah.
He could have, you know, that's your first game as a Texan, you have all this pressure and you mess up on the first possession, it could have been like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
But no, he shook it off. It's like it never happened. And then after that, it was just sailing. And I think he really showed like poise and maybe some maturity that maybe we weren't sure if he had since he'd only started 7 games before Sunday. So I like that about him.
In 15 and 13, she brings up a good point. The first pass is thrown by a Texans quarterback or intercepted, so it's a nice way to start things differently. What'd you like most from Osweiler?
I think I liked his mental grasp of the offense that we thought we were seeing in weeks 2 and 3 of the preseason. At least in week 1 of the regular season, seems to have translated. I thought his decision-making was real good. I thought on plays that they were calling where the idea was to go through your reads, I thought he overall read the defenses pretty well. There were clearly some plays in there where the object was to get the ball out pretty quickly. The deep balls, you know, generally speaking, were pretty good. I know that's been kind of a thing that's been a criticism, I think, more just statistically in Denver than just aesthetically watching him play. If Will Fuller catches that deep pass, then, you know, who knows what the numbers look like for
Brock
Osweiler. I was going to say,
they've got good receivers in Denver, but they don't have receivers like Will Fuller that
no.
can get deep like that.
Yeah, no, there's very few guys that can get deep like that. Not only get deep like that, But he's got the little kind of tricks of the trade down for a wide receiver, too. I mean, he does things that you see guys who have been in the league 5-6 years doing in terms of positioning his body and creating space. So, yeah, I mean, other than the drop, not to totally take a left-hand turn with Fuller, but other than the drop, I mean, it was a great performance for him, too.
Will Fuller does many, many things well, like we just mentioned. What do you like most about him?
Well, I think the thing you have to like most about him is his speed. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. When you run a 4.32 as a receiver, that's kind of a weird word, but it's bonkers. I mean, when he took that screen pass, you're kind of like, oh, this is not going to end well. And then the way he was just so fast, no one could even get close to him. And when he scored on that, it was just like, you know about his speed, but to see it in a football game like that, it was just impressive.
You just said and echoed what what Texans fans have all thought for a while. When you see that short screen, like, oh man, nothing much is going to happen. They've been conditioned to see otherwise, and this guy's got the goods to break it open. Hey, Lamar Miller touched the ball 32 times, 28 carries, 4 catches, 28 carries. That's Arian Foster like. That's something we've seen in the last few years, and it's unlike anything we've seen from Lamar Miller since his high school days. He didn't do that at Miami or Miami, the U and the Dolphins.
Yeah, you're right.
What'd you like about controlling the clock? I mean, that was something that the Texans did fantastically.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I know statistically you look at the Texans and their running statistics, and they ran for 3.7 yards a carry, and you look at that and you go, well, that's not very good. There are different ways to run for 3.7 yards per carry. There are effective ways of doing it, and there are high variance, ineffective ways that put you behind the chains. They were hardly behind the chains at all on Sunday. The only time they really were was when they committed a couple penalties. Lamar Miller, when I went back and looked on his 28 carries, only lost yardage on one of those 28 carries. The rest, he was always going forward. Yeah. Bill O'Brien talked about that being a huge key to controlling the clock.
Last thought on Lamar Miller.
Well, what I liked about him is he's known as a guy for just a speed guy, but especially those first few runs, he showed great vision, and he's also not afraid to pound on the inside. Like, he will really go in there and get it. He's not just a finesse guy.
Which is something that wasn't really said too much about him coming in here, so that was a good sign. I agree. Okay, the Texans had a big, big problem last year with one chief in particular. When we come back, we'll figure out how they're going to stop that problem. Don't go anywhere. This is Texans Extra Points.
Texans Extra Points has been brought to you by Reliant. Keeps you powered at home, at work, and on the go.
Cutler scrambling to the right side. Cutler trying to buy some time. Clowney on the move, and Cutler's forced out of bounds. Clowney, that should be a sack.
Special.
One of the odder ways you'll see a sack by Jadeveon Clowney last week, it's Sean Pendergast, Christy Reakin, and Drew Doherty here on Texans Extra Points. And last year, tight end Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs had a day. And then he had another day when the Texans played in the playoffs against the Chiefs. All told, over 200 yards receiving, 14 catches, 2 touchdowns. He just got loose time and time and time and time again. How do they stop that tomorrow?
Well, definitely don't do what they did last year.
Something different.
No. Come on, no. That's too easy.
What O'Brien said, and it's very clear that this is what you have to do. No one can cover him one-on-one. Yeah. Like, he's 6'5", he's 255. There's just not a defensive back that can handle him. So you're going to have to get different people helping. You're going to have to put bodies on him, make him work. Like, it's just, you just can't make anything easy for him, because if you do, he's going to torch you like he did last year.
Yeah, and he was the only, those two games were the only two games he had more than 100 yards receiving in the entire regular season and postseason. So, without Cushing, what is Max Bulla? What is Benardrick McKinney? Do you mix things up and send somebody different at him than you did last year?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, early in the season, obviously, that was a different set of safeties you had back there than you did later in the season. Obviously, the playoff game was an issue. The playoff game, I almost want to go like, okay, everybody played horrible in the playoff game. I'll look more at the regular season game on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, you got Andre Hallen, Quentin Demps back there. It's a huge concern. The Bulla thing is a big concern, not just because of Kelce, but also what they can do with their running backs in Kansas City. So I just think if we're expecting Travis Kelce to finish the game with like 2 catches for 17 yards, like, it's just not going to happen. What you have to do is make sure that the plays that he does get are not the plays where he's going for 50 yards down the field and eating up all kinds of yardage. Whatever he gets, you got to keep him in front of you. And I think get physical with him, too. I think if you can, the same way you chip a defensive lineman, if you can get physical with Travis Kelce also, I think that'll help.
He brings up an interesting point. It's kind of an odd offense because the tight end and the two running backs were their three primary receivers. If you look at the stat line last week against the Chargers, they come back and beat them in overtime. But what do you make of that offense and what they do? Because it's not the flashiest or cutest, but it gets the job done a lot of the time.
I found it interesting that Ware had like 129 yards receiving last week, and you're like, wait, he's a running back. And so maybe you know, when their running game is not working the way they want it, that's the way they can open it up, is with those little short passes, and the running backs can take it. So that's another thing you have to look out for, because you know that Ware is going to get those short passes, and he can take them far. So you have to really be careful with him, too.
Plus, they can run the ball decently, even though Jamal Charles has not been in there and probably won't be in there tomorrow.
Right. Well, and they used the short passing game with Jamal Charles last year in the first week of the season, too. So I think what Andy Reid is really good at is kind of what they talk about with Bill Belichick defensively, where he finds the one thing you do poorly and then he exposes it. I think Andy Reid's really good at doing that as an offensive coordinator / head coach. And so, you know, unfortunately, that is, if there's a weakness on this Texans defense right now, it's the players that you would normally use to cover the guys who are playmakers for this offense for Kansas City. So, it's a major, major concern, no question.
All right, you just brought up a weakness, and one thing that's never weak is when Bill O'Brien and John Harris go to the board, do their X's and O's. That's what they're doing in this week's version of the Telestrator.
Welcome to Texans Telestrator, presented by BMW. I am John Harris, and I brought the big guns today. Coach Bill O'Brien comes in. Coach, thanks for being here. It's time to talk about Sunday's win over the Chicago Bears. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right, we're going to take a look at a guy that really has made huge strides since you guys have been here in 2014. That's Whitney Mercilus, and you can see him right here about to rush. This is a big play, third down. And Witt's on the edge here. Coach, take us through this sack by Whitney.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this has to do with his, like Johnny just said, his improved pass rush technique. He's really worked hard to come up with different ways to use his hands, use his speed to power move, all the different things that he does to get to the quarterback. In addition to that, it has a bit to do with the scheme, you know, where we can get it where he's one-on-one with the tackle, which is what you see here, and then that lets him really go to town and work these moves. So when you look at here from the end zone shot, we're in a front here where all the linemen are basically covered. So you see JJ over here on the right tackle, Simon on the right guard, McKinney up over the center, JD on the left guard, and there's Mercilus on the left tackle. And you also have Boye down here hovering in a linebacker type position there. And so what that does is it forces the offensive line here to make a call. Like, how are they going to protect this? Is it going to be man-to-man? Is it going to be slide? How are they going to do this? And so here you can see where they decide to basically man-to-man this. We bring our blitz, but you can see where Whitney's one-on-one with that tackle. And he does a nice job of trying to get the tackle to lean, uses his hands, and then dips his left shoulder by. And then obviously on the strip sack, he does a really good job with drills with Coach Vrabel in practice and Coach Weaver of working this exact technique that he's using here, where the quarterback's holding the ball in his right hand and the first thing he does is punch the ball out. Now, the key is here, we need to scoop that and score. We missed the scoop and score there. If we can work a little bit more this week on scoop and score, maybe we'd be able to get one of these and score a touchdown with it. But that's credit to Whitney Mercilus, and good job by the defensive staff.
Had A.J. Boye not pulled a Bill Buckner, he would have gone for a six, and that would have been a great way to finish this one. Great job by Whitney Mercilus. Great scheme right there. Coach, excellent job. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Johnny.
We'll be right back after this.
So glad you're back with us for the final segment here on Texans Extra Points. Drew Doherty, Christy Reakin, and Sean Pendergast. And it's that time of the show where we figure out three keys to a Texans win. How do they unlock a W tomorrow, Sean?
The answers to the test. My three things would be special teams has been really good throughout the preseason, and it was really good against Chicago. It needs to be really good again, especially the coverage teams. You can't give up long kickoff and punt returns, especially early in the game. I would say also the short passing game of Kansas City, containing that, which we've talked about a lot. And then I think also not only keeping third down manageable, but I think they're going to need some explosive plays, too, out of the running game this week. You can't have your long run, I think, this week be a 12-yard draw play on third and forever. But keeping third down manageable was huge against Chicago. It'll be big again this week.
How about you, Christy?
Well, I think, obviously, JJ being JJ will be very important in helping the team win. And we have to remember, this team got 5 sacks, and JJ had none.
Yeah.
So if they can all do what they did last week, and then JJ's more like himself, I think that the pass rush will be great, and it could, you know, help take some pressure off maybe the absence of Cushing and some things like that. Secondly, got to handle Travis Kelce. Like, if you don't do that, like, nothing else is going to matter, because if he gets away for 130 yards and a couple touchdowns, that's going to end badly for the Texans. And thirdly, quickly I'll say, they had 5 turnovers in that embarrassing playoff loss. They definitely need to limit turnovers. Don't give the ball back. Don't give them any extra possessions.
Yeah, they were good about that last weekend against the Bears. They were really good about it during the preseason. I mean, they created 5 just in those first 3 games alone. And it's something that really propelled this team to a pretty good and unexpected, not unexpected, but a better than expected finish 2 years ago when they led the NFL in turnovers. I'm going to stick with that. I mean, you got to win that battle. Even though last weekend against the Chargers, who they wind up beating, the Chargers beat them in time of possession, turnovers, better field position. They ran for 155 yards. I mean, they did all these things, these check marks that you usually hit and you wind up winning the game, but they just wound up getting a victory. This is a very, very sound football team. It's an unorthodox football team, and you got to find an interesting way to beat them. I like what each of you said, especially the big plays in the running game from Lamar Miller. Well, Sean, thanks so much for the time. Christy, really appreciate you being here, and we thank you for watching us here on Texans Extra Points. We'll be back next week at the same time on the same channel, and tomorrow the Texans taking on Kansas City. Noon kickoff, NRG Stadium, looking for another win to go 2-0 in 2016. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Nobody comes into our house. 1, 2, 3, 4.